It's always great to be able to open up God's Word this morning. I pray this time will be a real blessing to you. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read three short passages here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. The NLT says that you may win the prize. Run to win. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Three verses here. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One more, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, a couple of verses here. Verse 6, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And I'm sure God will give a rich blessing to the reading of His word that we just did publicly. So this morning I want to talk to you about what we read, and that is running to win. And this really spoke to me as I looked over these passages, and I have 7 points that I want to make. So if you keep notes, there are 7 things that I'm going to talk about. Getting to the end. And the first one is to be goal-orientated. Now, that almost sounds like something from the world, right? Be goal-orientated. You know, at one time I used to do a fair amount of motivational speaking. And I don't think I ever gave any kind of talk at that time without mentioning goals. And when it comes to our Christian life, this may be just me, but I think that we don't do enough of this, and that is be goal-orientated. You don't have to put your hand up, but if you're here today and you're saved and you know it, wonderful. You're in the race, whether you think you are or not, but you are. And it's good to be goal-orientated because Paul was. We just read about it. He talks about finishing well. He's talking about there's a prize. And I think too often as Christians, we go through this life, this Christian life, and we don't see the end. We don't see what is coming. We don't put enough emphasis on that. I remember there's a couple of chiropractors in the room here this morning. Well, there's three of us. Okay? But unlike Jamie and unlike Ben, when I went to chiropractic college in 1970, I was the last of the Mohicans, meaning I was the last class in Canada and the United States that allowed students like me to get in without an undergraduate degree. I didn't have that. I was 18 years old. And in those days, unlike today, it's hard to get in today. Like, try to get into medical school. Like, good luck, right? Physiotherapy, chiropractic, they're all the same. It's hard to get in. But once you're in, because you're sort of pre-qualified already, right? But in my day, you know what the dean, first day I get in school, and I didn't know anybody. I just sat in the big auditorium. There was 150 of us. And you know what the dean said? 50% of you will not graduate. Well, that's a nice thing to say on the first day of school. He said, half of you will not graduate from this institution. And I'm looking around. I didn't know anybody, but all I could say in my head, you don't know me. I'm going to graduate. That I promise in my head. And so I was very goal-orientated. Do you know what I mean by that? And so, Christian, Paul is saying here, look to the end. You know, I'm not into New Age stuff at all, but there's some things about visualization. See yourself, Christian, at the end of the journey, because Paul did, of winning a prize. There's going to be rewards. Now, salvation, God's going to keep you. If you're saved, the doctrine is very, very sure in the scriptures. Once saved, always saved. Right? We teach that. It's true. The Philippians 1 and 6 says, and God will finish the work that he commenced in you. You're going to get there. But at the end of the day, you want to win the prize, the reward. Because the Bible tells us that there will be people that will almost like wash up on shore to heaven. They'll get there. But there'll be no reward in that sense for them. And guys, I want that reward. And it's biblical that you have that goal. And I'm just trying to stir you up this morning so that you might change your focus and put it on the day of rewards, because it's coming to a theater near you. It's going to happen. And Paul said we ought to prepare for it. We ought to be looking forward to that reward, running the race. That was point number one, to be goal oriented. Point number two is be disciplined. Now, again, I'll bring you back to the days that I used to do speaking to lay groups and whatever, professional groups. I talked about discipline a lot. And the three D's, desire, determination, and discipline. Any success that you're going to have in anything in your life better be surrounded by discipline. And we all know that, again, it's God's work. But we need to cooperate with God. It's a cooperation. We're told in Philippians that we work, don't stop working. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the work in the Lord is that we do is never in vain. So we work, but we work in cooperation with God. We don't do it in the flesh. He provides the power. But we need to be disciplined. Paul says, I beat my body. Now, there's some athletes in this room. Okay? There are. And for, you know, some elite athletes are in this room. I'll tell you something. You know, it's kind of funny because I was chuckling thinking about this because I come from Timmins, okay? And in Timmins, I often tell my grandchildren this. I don't know if they believe me or not. But Timmins used to be the hotbed for the NHL. You know, Sudbury, I'm sure, was too. But I only knew about Timmins. And, Tim Horton, put your hand up. Do you know who that is? Even you ladies that don't like hockey. Do you know what Tim Horton? It's not coffee. He was a hockey player, okay? Came out of, well, not Timmins, Cochrane. Santa Claus, Cochrane, Timmins, okay? That's it's way over there. You know where Timmins is. Anyway, when I was growing up, okay, and I had two brothers that played in the OHL. One of them had a cup of coffee in the OHL, like the junior league, the Sudbury Wolves type of thing, okay? And my other brother had a real good career and was the third goaltender in the Chicago Blackhawks system. That's my brother. I grew up around that. And I laugh because I used to watch my brothers get ready for training camp. They were leaving at the end of August to go to junior training camp, okay? And my brothers, and there was seven or eight guys that would meet at what is called the Hollinger Park in Timmins. And there was a track there, okay? And it wasn't a track of, four times around for a mile. It was a bigger track, but they couldn't even run it. Here's the guy, and I laughed because I was just a kid, but I was in love because there was guys in Timmins that they all met, the guys that were going to go play junior, and then the guys that were going to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Alan Stanley and guys like that, Timmins boys, and they were getting ready for training camp, and they all had a towel around their neck, and they couldn't even, and then they have a smoke. I'm not kidding you. My brothers smoked, both of them. And then they couldn't even run around the Hollinger track. They were talented, but not disciplined. You know what I mean? Now, of course, it's changed. You're an athlete today. You're in the gym. You as an athlete, what do? You learn to say no. When everybody else is eating whatever they feel like or whatever, no, I can't do that, right? Like discipline, now is 12 months of the year. Like these guys in the NHL or anything like that, track or soccer or whatever, it's 12 months of the year. You're in shape. If you want to play at a certain, you know what I'm saying? But guys, if you want to win the prize, you got to be disciplined. You got to say no. The hardest words in the English language. No, can't do that. You want to get to that prize. You want to win that prize at the end. You got to learn to say, no, I beat my body. That's what Paul. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things edify. Paul said, look, I want to win that prize. I'm going to be disciplined. Joseph, think about it. He's in Egypt. And can you imagine the time that he was there? It'd be much like today. Joseph, everybody's doing it, man. What are you worried about? Mrs. Potiphar, hey, who's going to know? Who cares? Joseph, Jojo, come on. But Joseph said no. Joseph disciplined his body. He was looking to a bigger reward. He said, I can't do that. I don't care what the world does. I don't do that anymore. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't beat our bodies, guys, if we don't see the prize, if we want to win, that's really important. Moses, he had it all before him. Right before him was, you're the next big shot in Egypt. You're it, Moses. You're going to be next. But in Hebrews 11, it tells us that Moses refused. He had a bigger picture of what was going to happen. You read Hebrews 11, and those people were looking for a city. They were looking ahead. They were looking for that reward in the next life. And you and I, we need to focus on that. We need to be disciplined. We have to beat our body. We have to learn to say no to the things like that. It says, that was number two. Number three says, run with endurance. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, seeing you're encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, what? Hebrews 11, right? All those great witnesses ahead of us are behind us, excuse me. It says, seeing you're encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance, right? Getting rid of things that so easily beset us. Now, guys, let me tell you something. And if you haven't learned this yet, it's because you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the fight you're in. You have an enemy. You have a target on your back. You have one who hates your guts and is into analytics. You know what analytics are? Okay, you hear a lot about it today. It's tendencies. So you have analytics in baseball, right? Why does the second baseman, you're up to the plate, the second baseman moves over to this side, knows where you're going to hit most of the time, right? It's called analytics. In coaching, I thought I was ahead of my time because when I coached hockey, I spent a lot of time looking at the opposition. Okay? So I used to tell my players, these are the tendencies. This is what this guy does. And this is what the moves he likes to make. And that's what Satan does with you. He knows your weaknesses. Every sin that so easily besets you. What's that mean? Well, look, some you know, we're all different, right? There's some things that easily beset me that maybe don't bother you at all. But the point is, we need to run the race with endurance. And that is, understand, Tony, I get to know your weaknesses and the things that so easily trip you up. You're running a race and you can get tripped up pretty easily, Tony, when you get your eyes off me, saith the Lord. Right? Guys, I can't tell you what your weaknesses are, but you should really be very aware of that. If there's anything that ought to keep us humble, is the fact that all of us have weaknesses. What trips you up? Number four, don't get entangled. You want to win the race? Don't get entangled. Paul uses analogies. He used one here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, didn't he? An athlete. What does an athlete do? Discipline. Characterized by that. An athlete is a disciplined person. You want to win? You better be disciplined. But he also uses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he uses the analogy of a soldier. You're enlisted, guys. You're in. You're in God's army. Sometimes we sing that song. Haven't sung it here in many years, I think. But we're in the Lord's army. I think they sing it down in Sunday school probably still. Do they, Ethan? Yeah, they do. Okay. It's a good song to sing because you and I are enlisted. But if you are a soldier, it ought to be characterized by you're not going to get entangled with the world. You see, God wants you, if you want to finish the race and get the prize at the end, God wants you to be an ambassador, not a politician. Do you know what I mean by that? You and I, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, you, look at me, I'm looking at you. You, you're sitting here this morning. You're an ambassador. You've been named. You've enlisted in the army, but maybe you don't see yourself as an ambassador. You are. What's that mean? Well, you represent, an ambassador represents God. He called you. You represent him. You're in a foreign land. Believe it or not, this is not our home. This isn't our home. I know it feels like home, but we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. But God didn't take you out yet. He sent you back into the world to represent him. So when you, guys, you want to win the prize at the end? Be faithful to that. You know, you want to get in a fight. You're mad. You got road rage. I refuse to put a fish behind in my, on my my car, okay? Because if you don't drive right, you're stupid. Tony, you're an ambassador for me. You represent me. Shut up, Tony. You're not a politician. You're an ambassador. You get that? You get the drift of that? You know, because, hey, yeah, but you talk. You see the way they're driving? You're in the grocery store, and someone cut in front of you. And they're an idiot. And you know it. I know it. But they don't know it. But That's so stupid. And you want to just tune them up. You wouldn't want to have a vote in here politically. I mean it. We don't all agree, do we, on politics? Do we all agree? Nah. Well, if we don't agree, what do you think's out there in the world? If you don't think the way I think, you're wrong. I'm sorry. I'll set you straight if you want to come one-on-one. But you know what I learned? Tony, shut up. I represent Jesus. I don't represent the Conservative Party or whatever it is. Do you know what I'm saying, guys? You got to get above it. You want to win the prize. We're living for the next world. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to get your focus on this world. Who wins this election? Who wins? Is it going to be a... It's fun. You know? But in 100 years from now, is it going to mean a hill of beans to anyone? No. What's important? I want, like Paul said, I want to win people to the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes I just don't get a chance to talk to people, but I better live my life that they see. You know one thing about Tony Martin? He's genuine. He cares about me. And he's a good neighbor. And he's not a loud mouth. Yes, he is. But do you know what I'm saying, guys? Do you know what I'm saying? I think you do. But we don't, oftentimes we go through life and we look at our rights and we want to hold on to stuff. And we want everybody to know that they're wrong and I'm right. You're not a politician. You want to win the prize. You want to win the prize. Don't get entangled. Number five. Don't live in the past. Look what he says, okay, in Philippians. He says this, not that I've already attained it or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I love that. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That'll be another point, but we'll get there in a minute. But one thing I do. One thing I do. One thing I do. One thing I do. See what's back there? Don't live back there. Now, when you drove here this morning, for those of you who drove, you might not have noticed it, but you got two side mirrors and you got a rear view mirror. And I got a stupid car that, well, Rosie got a new car and it drives me nuts. It's full of doodads and it got camera here, camera there, camera this, camera there, camera that. But anyway, most cars don't have that. What your car has are two side view mirrors and one rear view mirror. And you got a big windshield. That's what Paul's saying. Focus. Look forward. Don't live here. Because the four horses of the apocalypse of anger, regret, bitterness, and unforgiveness. How many Christians live in the past? They're angry. They look back. And listen, some of you could come up and give testimony this morning of what you've been through in your life. And unbelievable. And, but what can happen is that you, and the Bible talks about it. It's a root of bitterness that comes in. It's a root. And what happens, it'll get you off looking forward. Paul said, Paul, listen, Paul was a murderer. Did you know that? You don't think of that. But But that's who he was. He was Wyatt Earp. Now, you young people, who's Wyatt Earp? Old people, who's Wyatt Earp? Well, he was a sheriff that was going around putting people in jail. Okay? But Paul, he had people killed. He went and got Christians, and he had them murdered for their faith. That's who Paul was. Paul says, I don't go back there. I don't live back there. Because all it would be for Paul is regret. He would just, man, how can God ever forgive me for what I did? Right? How many people live like that? How many people live in bitterness or unforgiveness? You want a chain, guys? You want a chain? Put a chain around you and try and run a race? Have the chain of unforgiveness around you. You won't run that race. I tell you, medically, it's one of the biggest problems in society today. You know what it is? It's the root of bitterness and unforgiveness. It will spike your cortisol, your stress hormone, through the roof. And it will affect every aspect of your life. You know what I tell patients? Cortisol pours gasoline on the fire of inflammation, which is at the root of cancer, heart disease, and almost any chronic disease you can think of. Cortisol just pours gasoline on it. And as Christians, don't live back there. You can look back there. The reason to look back is so that there's no repetition. Do you know how many people come out of abusive homes and they become abusers? It's unbelievable. The statistics are scary. You would think, right? Abusive, I'll never do that. Because I had to live in that. I'll never do it, and they do it. I don't know how many men I've counseled over the years that they were abused as boys, and they became abusers before they got saved. Don't live in the past, guys. Don't live in the past. Don't focus there. Focus ahead. And Tim Keller once said, don't let success go to your head, but don't let failure go to your heart. I like that. Because people let failure. They look back and all they see is failure in their lives. Don't live there. And a quick point, number 6, we just read it. Paul says, I haven't attained. Don't rest on your laurels. You're not there yet. Don't get sidetracked, okay? Because sometimes you think, well, I'm just doing really well in my Christian life. Okay? Everything is hunky-dory in my Christian life. No, it ain't. Take heed that he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. And we should never, ever, and Tony, I talk to myself, I point to you, and I got 3 back here going, Tony, 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 Tony. Take heed that he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. And greater men than Tony Martin have fallen. At the height of their journey, fallen. Don't think you're there yet. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And then lastly, let me finish with this. Be a Paul and don't be a Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Be a Paul, don't be a Demas. Because Paul finished, what did he say? We read it, right? Paul, you know what I like about that? And I just sort of sprung on me when I was preparing this message. Do you know that when you get to the end of your life, you ought to know with certainty, of course, you're saved. God never wants you to doubt that. But you ought to know that you're going to get that reward too. Paul knew. Paul knew. Paul said, I fought the fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. Here's a verse. Young people, memorize this verse. Memorize this verse. Very easy. Get the easy ones first. Get the truth and never sell it. You're in the long run. See yourself at the end. Be a Paul. I am going to finish the race. You hear me? First day chiropractic. I put it in the cocombe here. I put it in my psyche. I never forgot what that dean said. I said, I don't know about these guys, but I know about me. I'm going to get there. And guys, you got to be a Paul. And I want you to leave here today to refocus your Christian life and to start looking ahead and saying, I don't care what happens, I'm going to win that prize at the end. I am going to hear from God, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm not going to be Demas. Demas, I don't know what happened. Wait a minute. I know what happened. I don't know why it happened. We read about Demas in the same chapter as Paul is telling us about the end of his life. And he said, oh, by the way, Demas, my friend, Demas, my fellow worker, Demas, a guy I relied on so much, Demas, who was so faithful. You know what happened, Demas? He had a heart problem. And it wasn't cardiac. He had a heart problem. Having loved this present world. He gave up, but God didn't give up on him. Hallelujah, we'll see Demas in heaven. Guaranteed. Once saved, all saved. But Demas forsook Paul. There's another name there, and I'll close with this. If you keep reading, it says, Paul says to Timothy, and bring Mark with you. I love that. I love that. What? Mark? Remember Paul and Barnabas? They had such a fight. Can you imagine get to be there? Paul and Barnabas, they're in each other's grill. They're going, and yeah, like Mark, Paul's saying this, but I don't, because he gave up on us, and he's a loser. I don't know if Paul said that, but they had a fight. We know that, okay? And you know what happens at the end? I love this. This is for us, guys. He said, bring Mark. He's useful. I can use Mark. You know what, guys? I don't care where you are in your spiritual life right now. I really don't know, and you know, and God knows. But you can start over today. You had a bad week. You've had a bad month. You've been down. You're hurting. You haven't been following the Lord the way you should. It's all right. Come back. Start again. Be a Mark. Coming back, Lord. And he goes, hallelujah. Good for you. Come on back. Start over again. Isn't that wonderful about the Word of God?
that we can read stuff like that. It's not too late, guys. Look for that prize. Set it today. If you haven't set that goal, say, you know what? I'm going to get there at the end. I guarantee it. Because God's going to help me. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro above the earth, looking to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him. God knows your heart. And you cooperate with God, you're going to win that prize at the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, O God, for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for His faithfulness, His goodness. Father, I pray for each and every one here this morning, God. You know their hearts. You know where they're at. You know their hurts. You know their weaknesses. You know all about their lives, O God. And I pray for them. Father, I thank you for speaking to me. I thank you for talking to Tony Martin first. And Lord, I pray, God, you take this message today and just use it to stir the hearts, Father, of the saints that are here today, God. We know how much you love us. And Father, we want to serve you and we want to honor you and we want to win that prize at the end, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.